So our next guest has long been on the short list of women poised to run for president. At the moment, though, she's already a president, that of the University of California. The UC system serves more than 238,000 students across its 10 campuses, with an annual budget topping $25 billion with a B. It's a titan in higher education and in the debate over the affordability and accessibility of that education. With the UC's tuition on the rise and state funding on the downswing, the university aims to increase enrollment by 10,000 students in the next few years. That's why UC President Janet Napolitano is in Reading this week to speak at Shasta College about why financial worries shouldn't stop people from enrolling. Yes, that Janet Napolitano. She's influenced public policy in more ways than we can count or address today. She served as Attorney General of Arizona, as governor of that state, then U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security under Barack Obama, and since 2013, President of the University of California. President Napolitano, it's an honor to speak with you. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you.
So can you tell us why and how you want to increase enrollment in the system by 10,000 students over the next few years?
Yeah, let me address 2 points. I noticed in the introduction you talked about rising tuition. And in point of fact, we're in the fifth year of a tuition freeze for California students. And we'll be frozen for the coming academic year. So we will have had 6 years of no tuition increases at the university, and should there be an increase after that, it will be generally pegged to the rate of inflation. So we're really doing all we can to keep tuition down and affordable and provide the quality of education that is the hallmark of the University of California. We did receive some extra money from the legislature to add more in-state students. And so this year we plan to add 5,000 students, both freshmen and transfers. So we're very excited about that.
Well, so but if there's a freeze on tuition, is that just parsing words if there's an increase in fees, like say a 5% increase approved by the Board of Regents in 2014?
Yeah, the increase in student fees was requested by the students themselves, and they actually have a large part in allocating the fees. One half of that increase will go for mental health services, by the way. And by the way, when I say there's a freeze, it includes fees. So for in-state students, there has been a freeze on tuition. And let me correct something I just said.
Uh-huh.
For students who come from families that make less than $80,000 a year, they pay no tuition or fees at the University of California.
So you are speaking at Shasta College in Reading tomorrow. It's part of this push to enroll more people in the system. Is this aimed specifically at in-state students?
Yes, it is. And it's aimed both at freshmen. So I'm going to be speaking at Arcata High School in a few hours, and I'm excited about that, and then at several community colleges up north here where we get some transfer students, but I think we could get more if we get more information out about the university, the financial aid that's available, and the excellence of the education that's provided.
So I want to address a recent state auditor's report. It raised some questions about non-resident enrollment in the UC system, namely that university policy might be driving that while edging out California students who don't pay as much in these student fees. Would you address that audit? It came out about a month ago.
Yeah. Well, that audit had drew a lot of incorrect conclusions and used inaccurate data to draw those inaccurate conclusions. Here's what happened. In 2010-11, during the recession, the legislature reduced the amount it gives to the university by a third. And so the university had a choice. It could either have reduced in-state enrollment by a third, it could have increased tuition by another $2,000, or it could have added some more out-of-state students who, in fact, pay for themselves plus another in-state student because they pay so much more in tuition. I think when you look at that menu of choices, you'd have to agree that the Board of Regents at the time made the wisest choice and were able to continue enrolling in-state students according to the enrollment plan that they had. In contrast, for example, the California State University system, because it doesn't attract out-of-state or international students to the degree UC does, they had to restrict enrollment of in-state students, and their president recently announced that they probably turned away tens of thousands of eligible Californians. We were able to offer a seat to all eligible Californians that applied.
So here we have a question submitted from Emily in Ashland. She says, the UC has stated they want 10,000 new students in the near future, but what about obtaining funding for these new students?
Right. Good question. We got some funding for the initial 5,000. The legislature basically said if we enroll 5,000, they would pay for some of that cost, and we are paying for the other part of the cost out of funds that we have pulled together from the university. But as we look at the year-out budgets, years 2 and 3, each of those we want to add 2,500 students, we're going to need additional appropriations from the legislature to support that enrollment growth.
Another question here from Paramal in Cypress, California. He sent this to us on Facebook. He said, some schools in the system now receive more funding from student tuition and fees than state subsidies. The UC schools are expected to increase tuition, he writes, but I think he means fees, by 5% over the coming years. Where is the money going, he asks. Are schools cutting back programs or course offerings despite the fee increases?
Well, you have to understand, fees are very different. I mean, a 5% student fee increase amounted to something like $60. So it's really tuition that has been the bone of contention. And our tuition actually, is, in point of fact, is very low. It's $12,000 plus for in-state students. Anyone from a family that makes less than $80,000 pays no tuition or fees, as I've indicated. Plus, we're in the fifth year of an in-state tuition freeze. Now, I think we need to talk about the fact that in the past, California invested a lot in its university. That's why it's considered the premier public university in the world. And in point of fact, with the dramatic cut that occurred during the recession, the writer is correct. At our campuses now, for those students who do pay tuition and fees, we get more money from that than from the state. I think it should be the reverse. These are public universities. It's an investment in our public's future to provide the best education we can, and that's our goal.
I mean, it sounds like you are turning around a very large ship that has been going a very different direction. I mean, a tuition freeze now doesn't counteract the fact that over the last decade, it's doubled, and that people pay much more than their counterparts did in previous decades. I mean, when you were an undergraduate, tuition was $600 or $700 a year versus $12,000 now. I mean, I've looked at those figures adjusted for inflation, and they are still, you know, remarkable. Is that all at the feet of the legislature?
I would say yes. I would have to say yes. The state of California used to invest much more in the university and in CSU than it did in the past. In point of fact, we get less per student now from the state than we did in 1980, to give you a sense of the flip. And this is, by the way, not California is not alone in this. Almost every state in the country cut higher education a lot in order to balance budgets during difficult economic times. And I was a governor. I understand that, and I understand the fact that there are lots of needs in a state. However, I think we are now at a point where we need to be reinvesting in our universities. And I think one of the ways we make the case for reinvesting in our universities is by adding more California students.
We are talking right now with President of the UC System, Janet Napolitano. You are welcome to join this discussion, 800-838-3760, or email us jx@jeffnet.org. Now, President Napolitano, we've been talking about the history here of tuition and fees. I want to go to a question submitted from Dave in Ashland. Dave wrote into us, do you think the initiative system in California has impacted the ability of the legislature to do something about the higher ed costs?
Oh, I think so. One initiative that confines the legislature is what's called Prop 98, which was an education initiative It covered K-12 and community colleges, but it left out the four-year universities. And so the four-year universities, again, the 23 campuses of the Cal State system and the 10 campuses of the UC system, were left out of that. And there are other initiatives that have been passed as well, and that gives the legislature a problem, because even when they have so-called surpluses in their budget, many of those so-called surpluses are pre-allocated. However, in given the size of the state of California's budget and the importance of four-year degrees for the economy, for future jobs in this state, for future incomes in this state, it's time now to invest in the four-year schools.
Let's take a call. We've got Randolph in Pleasant Hill on the line. You're on the air. Welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you. And it's really a pleasure and an honor to talk to you, Ms. Napolitano. I'd like to ask you, I want to say one thing. It's great that California has put a freeze on tuition. That's awesome, because Oregon's raising it again. I just wanted to ask you if you have any idea what tuition, I mean, what, you know, the amount of kids going to school back in the day when it was free, how much larger a capacity of kids were going back then compared to now, and how much of a mistake was it when Ronald Reagan disbanded the UC system, the free aspect of it?
Thanks for that, Randolph.
Well, I think, I think what we're seeing in California is a trend that is also present in the other states, which is to cut back on investments in public higher education. And you can tell from our conversation already, I think that's a bad idea for California and for the next generation. And like I said, we want to add California enrollment. We want to produce and provide the best education we can for California graduates. But I don't know whether it began with Ronald Reagan or slightly thereafter, but there have been continuous cutbacks in the amount per student that the state has provided. And now we see that in point of fact, in many cases, the student is paying more than the state is contributing. I think people would be surprised to know that of our total budget, the state puts in probably 12%.
Yeah, it's something like $2.4 billion out of the $25 billion that I saw. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So your office, you know, this trip to Arcata today and then Shasta College tomorrow, the materials I've gotten about it, it's a bid to sort of let people know that their financial worries shouldn't stop them from enrolling in a UC system school. You've mentioned this effort to or this rule that people whose families make less than $80,000 a year can go tuition free. How long has that been in place?
That's been in place a number of years. The students have to be eligible, meaning they have to fill out the FAFSA, the Federal Financial Aid Form, because the way we do it is we put together a package with federal financial aid and contributions from the university and Cal grants and so forth. But it's called the Blue and Gold Opportunity Plan, and it's there for students. If you go on our website, you'll find information about it. And there's other financial aid available, too, in the form of grants and loans and scholarships. Let me give you another statistic. I don't want to overload the conversation with statistics, but here's another one that people might find surprising. 55%, over half of our students, pay no tuition or fees. Half of our students graduate with no debt. And of those who graduate with debt, none of us like that, but the amount of the debt on average is right around $20,000 for the 4 years, or kind of the price of a medium-priced car. Now, a car will depreciate in value the minute you drive it off the lot. We've all had that experience. A university education increases in value over the lifetime of the student, and it's a game changer for so many of our students. 42% of our students are first-generation college students, meaning that no one in their family has gone to college before, and they graduate. We have high graduation rates. They graduate with a University of California degree.
President Napolitano, with just a couple minutes remaining here, I want to give you a chance to touch on these other initiatives you've launched since becoming the UC president in 2013. For example, how can the UC have a global impact on food systems?
Right. We call it the Global Food Initiative, working toward putting the planet on a pathway to a nutritious, sustainable food future. What that's about is taking, you know, there are probably a half a dozen major challenges that affect the entire planet right now. Climate being one, energy sustainability being one, public health being one. But one is food and food insecurity. And when myself and the chancellors looked around our system and gauged student interests and where we have real academic and research strength, we decided to take food on as a grand challenge and thus launched the Global Food Initiative. It's really exciting. We have food fellows, undergraduate students, graduate students at all of the campuses. We have research projects on everything from food-related health and chronic health conditions to how to develop new kinds of crops that can sustain changes in weather. So it's a broad variety of activities, all focused on one of the planet's big challenges. And that's one of the strengths of the University of California. We're a big public university. We have breadth and depth and scope that is unmatched in the public university world. And that's why we can take something on like this.
With about a minute left, I want to ask, you've served in government on so many levels. Wish we had more time to touch on them. But in this election here, what would you like to see prioritized?
Well, from where I sit right now, I'd like to see the candidates talk realistically about this country and its investment in higher education.
We've been talking this morning with UC President Janet Napolitano. She is in Arcata today and in Redding tomorrow, visiting Shasta College, part of the Shasta College Speaker Series. It's free and open to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. You can find out more and hear President Napolitano speak. Visit our website, jeffexchange.org. President Napolitano, thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you.